من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدى محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، brothers and sisters in Islam, in this weekend program that we've been having for the past 2 days and ending tomorrow inshallah ta'ala, the program, the theme of which is reviving the sunnah, we have discussed some topics such as adherence to the sunnah, who draws the line between that which is halal or haram, or Islam and kufr, iman and kufr, etc. The proof against those individuals that say that hadith were not written during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that he did not order the hadith to be written from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the danger of the antithesis of the sunnah, which is al-bid'ah. Now we'd like to talk about another aspect of reviving the sunnah and preserving the sunnah and protecting the sunnah and cherishing the sunnah, which is the second source to only the Quran, Allah's speech, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words, which is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This evening inshallah, just briefly, we would like to now discuss the position of the ulama of Islam, of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of Ahlul Hadith, of Ahlul Athar, on the utilization, implementation, and or practicing of unauthentic hadith. What is the position that you and I as Muslims must take? What should be our stance on utilizing, either with our tongues, our bodily limbs, or our tacit or end or silent approval towards or regarding weak or unauthentic hadith? We know, brothers and sisters in Islam, that the vessel of hadith is the hadith itself is the vessel that carries the sunnah. And we know that the sunnah was being revealed along with the Quran. So if we want to preserve the Quran, if we want to preserve the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he mentions in that verse, that he will preserve the dhikr, إِنَّا نَحْنُ لَنْزَلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّ لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. If we want to help preserve that dhikr, the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down on his slave, as he says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. Praise be to Allah who revealed this book on his abd, a book wherein there is no crookedness. If we want the help, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, he needs nothing from us. If we want to serve Islam, and making sure that that zikr, the Quran, is practiced and understood in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be practiced and understood, we must take a firm stance on the utilization of only the hadiths that have been collected, corrected, purified, sanitized by the scholars of hadith. The scholars of hadith. If we have a desire to assist Islam, and if we have a desire to not lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He says, وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Speaking about the Messenger of Allah, صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. He does not speak of his own desire, but it is revelation from Allah عز وجل, who is over his throne, above the water, which is above the seven heavens, and a manner befitting his majesty, that has informed him and instructed him and commanded him and mandated for him to say what Allah wanted him to say, either A, in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Al-Quran Al-Kareem, or B, in the words of the Messenger of Allah. Nonetheless, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must take the stance to protect it and use only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to use, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His glorious book in another ayah, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنَ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Who is he who is worse, who invents a lie on Allah while he's being invited to Islam? And I like to say, no one. There's no one that's worse than an individual that would lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah mentions this in Surah Al-Jinn, that we would never think that أَن تَقُولَ الْإِنسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ, that someone would say a lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from among the jinn or the ins. So, when we want to protect this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must assist Islam by utilizing the vessel that carries the meaning of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the hadith of our beloved Prophet Al-Mustafa Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know, brothers and sisters in Islam, that the utilization of unauthentic hadith is a tremendously great problem that has plagued the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a few decades, if not for at least a century. That the utilization, yarhamakallah, the utilization of unauthentic hadith has been one of the foremost diseases and plagues of this ummah. The utilization of unauthentic hadith is the AIDS of this ummah. It is the AIDS of this ummah. The utilization of unauthentic hadith. It is the worst disease physically that we have seen in the past 100 years. AIDS. And the worst disease of this ummah, as far as preserving the Quran and its meaning, is the utilization of unauthentic hadith. Something that the vast majority of the Muslims today, even the ulama and the fuqaha, pay no attention to, or very little attention to. Even the ulama and the fuqaha. And brothers and sisters in Islam, if we inspect this issue of using only those things that have been verified by the scholars of hadith of the past and those who follow as-silsilatu al-zahabiyya, that golden chain back to those scholars of hadith, used by the present day scholars of hadith, if we look at this, inspect it carefully, we find out that those individuals of the past, like Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim
and Dar-Qutni, and Ibn Hajar Al-Hafiz Amir Al-Mu'mineen Fil Hadith Al-Ahqalani Al-Al-Haythami, and others like them, radiyallahu anhum wa rahimahumullahu ta'ala. We find that they told us to stay away from the utilization of unauthentic hadith the way you try to stay away from AIDS today. This is the way they felt about the unauthentic hadith and utilizing them. On the contrary, they were worse and more tenacious in sticking to the authentic hadith and staying far away from the unauthentic hadith than you are for catching AIDS. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. In addition to this danger and this plague, brothers and sisters in Islam, if you look deeply into this disease that has plagued the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will see that one of the chief reasons for bid'ah in this deen is the utilization of unauthentic hadith. If you look very closely to the bid'ah that has crept into this ummah's practice, whether in al-aqidah or in al-ibadah, in belief or worship, you will see, brothers and sisters, without a doubt, 100% of the time, 100% of the time, you will find unauthentic hadith hands somewhere in the mix. Somewhere in that problem, you will find the utilization of an unauthentic hadith. As a result of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl and rahmah and ni'mah, His bounty, His grace, His mercy on this ummah, He has blessed this ummah with the ulama of hadith. Some and more of the individuals that we've already mentioned. Despite the efforts of these individuals, the few scholars of the past, despite their efforts, brothers and sisters in Islam, on trying to sanitize and purify and keep preserved the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, we still find a lot of Islamic writers and scholars of today utilizing these unauthentic hadith, whether they were da'if jiddin, muttarab, munkar, matruk, shaz, mawdu', wahin, or whatever type of unauthentic hadith they are. We find many of the books that are written not just in English but in Arabic, replete, filled to the brim, chock full of unauthentic hadith. And it's a shame and a disgrace that someone would say that I am a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am a Sunni. It's a shame and a disgrace that we would have the audacity to sit, stand, or lie on our sides and say that we love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then use a hadith that we know that the Messenger of Allah didn't say or do, when He has said, "Man qala alayya ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار." Whoever says something about me that I didn't say, let them find their seat already prepared for them in the hellfire. And in the other narration, متعمدا فليتبوأ مقعده من النار. Whoever does it intentionally, let them find their seat already prepared for them in the hellfire. Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he said in his introduction to the Sahih of Imam Muslim, quote, "We have seen the wrongdoing of many of those who have appointed themselves as scholars of hadith. It was their responsibility to drop the weak ahadith and the unauthentic reports and stick only to the well-known authentic hadith, which have been reported by trustworthy Muslims who are known to be truthful and honest. However," Imam Muslim says, "we find them spreading disapproved hadith, with weak and unacceptable isnad, or chains of authority, spreading them among the people who cannot, like me and you, the common foot soldier, grassroots Muslim, who cannot distinguish the good from the defective. They, the scholars, Imam Muslim said, they do this even though they acknowledge that a good deal of what they tell the ignorant people is objectionable and related by unacceptable people who have been censored by the great A'imma, rahimahumullah, the great A'imma or Imams of Hadith, such as Imam Malik and Shu'aba and Yahya ibn Sa'id and Al-Ghattan and others, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Then Imam Muslim said, you should know, all of you, يَرْحَمُكُمُ اللَّهِ, may Allah grant you mercy and give you success, that it is the duty of everyone who is capable, every single scholar who is capable, every talib al-ilm, seeker of knowledge, student of knowledge, who is capable of distinguishing between the true and the defective reports, and between the truthful and disclaimed transmitters, to relate only what he is sure is authentic, and to stay far away from that which has been transmitted by suspicious people or by stubborn advocates of bid'ah, innovations in deen. This is not the statement of some sheikh or scholar today. This is the statement of the illustrious August Imam Muslim, Hajjaj ibn Muslim, rahimahullah. And the evidence for this, Imam Muslim has stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. O you who believe, if an evil person comes to you with news, verify. If an evil person comes to you with news, verify. And again, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِّنْكُمْ, take as witnesses two just men from among you. Imam Muslim said, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you that the news coming from an evil transgressor is unacceptable, and that the testimony from an unjust person is unacceptable as well. As for the sunnah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, and then Imam Muslim recited the entire chain of the hadith, all the way up to Al-Mughira and Samura bin Jundub radiallahu anhuma. Anyone who relates about me, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or says what he thinks to be a lie, he is himself one of the liars. And if the transcription of this is correct, the hadith actually says he is one of the kadhibain, not one of the kadhibin. He's one of the two liars. The one who narrated the hadith through the chain, and the other one who transmitted it by carrying it to other people, even though it was a lie on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imam Muslim goes on, he says, the separation of unauthentic hadith is fard. The separation of unauthentic hadith from the other authentic hadith is fard. It's an obligatory act. He said, the reason is because the ilm, the learning, the knowledge which is the evidence from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creatures, is only the Quran and the Sunnah, nothing else, except what has been derived from that by the authoritative scholars. Then Imam Muslim says, But the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to a wisdom from the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has been mixed with that which is not part of it. And this is from Al-Hikmatul Baligha. This is from the deep, expansive wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why he didn't completely preserve the hadith of the Messenger of Allah like he preserved the Quran. So Imam Muslim said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of his wisdom willed this not to be part of the preservation in the sense like the Quran, thus relying on it unconditionally and spreading it without distinction or investigation leads definitely to legislating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted. And the one who does that, the one who says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed in his presence, anyone who does this, Imam Muslim rahimahullah said, does this, is worthy of falling into lying about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as was stated in the hadith that we just mentioned. This is further clarified by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu's hadith, in which he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sufficient proof that a person is a liar if he relates everything that he hears. It is sufficient proof for a person to be considered a liar that he relates everything that he hears. For that reason, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu said, a man cannot be safe. What did he mean? A man can't be safe from the wrath of Allah. A man cannot be safe. Imam Darul Hijra says, radiallahu anhu, the illustrious Imam Malik, if he relates everything that he hears. What's the evidence? The evidence is the hadith that we just mentioned. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ سَمِعًا. It is sufficient that a person be considered a liar that he relates everything that he hears. The Messenger of Allah said, the Messenger of Allah said, the Messenger of Allah said, the Messenger of Allah did, the Messenger of Allah did, the Messenger of Allah did, and you don't even know or don't even care if he said it or did it. Imam Malik said, a man can't be saved from the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implicitly in his statement if he relates all that he hears. And Imam Malik said, which would eliminate a whole lot of scholars in this world today, a whole lot of imams, and a whole lot of people who say they're giving da'wah to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, he said, and he can never become our imam. He can never become our imam if he relates everything that he hears. And this hadith is general. It's general, brothers and sisters. This also refers to the sisters who get on the phone day and night and say, child, you know what sister so-and-so just told me? And you relate it. Or you go to the masjid, brothers. Akhi, you heard what Dawud Adi said about Imam Jamil al-Amin? Everything you hear, you relate. You're not safe. How much more lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, من عرف ربه عرف نفسه. Whoever knows his Lord knows himself. How can you attribute this to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi rahimahullah, he said, a man cannot become an imam to be followed unless he holds back some of what he hears. He can't even be considered to be followed unless he holds back something of what he heard. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we should be very, very careful on saying something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger didn't say, or saying something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger didn't do and saying that he did it. Listen to some of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, brothers and sisters in Islam. إِنَّ كَذِبًا عَلَيَّ لَيْسَ كَكَذِبٍ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ فَمَنْ كَذِبَ عَلَيَّ فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ.
Lying on me most definitely is not like lying on somebody else. Lying on me, صلى الله عليه وسلم, ليس كذبا على أحد. It's not like lying on somebody else. And whoever lies on me, let them take their seat. It's waiting for them in the hellfire.
من حدث عني حديثا وهو يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين.
Whoever lies on me, or whoever, excuse me, whoever transmits a hadith from me and he knows that it's a lie. What is the Messenger of Allah saying when he says he knows it's a lie? He's saying, if you know that the hadith is unauthentic and you still relate it, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then you are one of the two liars. The Prophet again said, لا تكذبوا علي فإن الكذب على يولج النار عليه الصلاة والسلام أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't lie on me, for surely lying is that which enters you into the hellfire. Don't lie on me, for surely that thing that you do of lying on me will enter you into the hellfire. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we should be very careful on transmitting things from the Messenger of Allah that he did not say and do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Things that we don't have knowledge of, we should be very, very careful to stay far away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger did not say or did not do. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَادِ أُولَٰئِكَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the English translation, do not say that which you have no knowledge of. For surely your hearing, your vision, and your intellect, meaning your heart, and your heart, all of it you're going to be responsible for and you're going to be questioned about. Now we'd like to give, in conclusion, inshallah, brothers and sisters, some guidelines that the scholars of hadith have laid down for us to help us guard ourselves against the wiles of shaitan and the utilization of unauthentic hadith. And before we do this, we'd like to make a note that hadith, according to the science of hadith, has three basic categories. That all hadith fall into three basic categories. Number one, sahih, or those which are sound. Number two, hasan. Hasan is a good hadith, which is very close to a sahih hadith. And the third category is da'if, which is weak. In these three categories, brothers and sisters in Islam, and there was a time, and Allah knows best, when there were only two categories, sahih and da'if. There was only two categories at one time, sahih and da'if, sound and weak, until the illustrious Imam, the august Imam, the great Imam of Hadith, Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, came with a category called Hasan. These three categories have many compartments. We have sahih li dhatihi, sahih li ghayrihi, hasan li dhatihi, hasan li ghayrihi, hadith da'if, hadith mursal, hadith munkar, etc. We won't go into it, but we want to just mention the conditions of those people who say you can use an unauthentic hadith, the conditions for them. Because the vast majority of scholars of the past say that you should not use unauthentic hadith at all. One of them, Imam Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, rahimahullah. And when I say Imam Ibn al-Arabi, I'm saying Ibn al-Arabi ma'rifa, not Ibn al-Ibn Arabi nakira. I'm not saying Ibn
Arabi without the Aleph Lam. I'm saying Ibn El Arabi. Ibn El Arabi is of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah of the Dawah As-Salafiyyah. Ibn Arabi without Aleph Lam is of Ahl Bid'ah wal Dalalah, Khalafi. We're talking about Ibn El Arabi, not the madman Sufi Ibn Arabi. Ibn El Arabi Al-Maliki rahimahullah, he said, إِنَّ الْحَدِيثَ الضَّعِيفَ لَا يُعْمَلُ بِهِ مُطْلَقًا وَهَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَالْحَقُّ الْأَقُولِ. He said that unauthentic hadith should not be worked on, worked by, implemented, practiced it at all. They shouldn't be used at all. He said, this is the truth, and the truth, I say it right now. This is the truth. And we agree with him. For those individuals among the Ummah of Muhammad, and there were some individuals, illustrious individuals, rahimahumullah, who said, no, we can use some unauthentic hadith. Listen to their conditions, brothers and sisters. Listen to the conditions of those individuals who say that we can use unauthentic hadith. The first condition, أَنْ يَكُونَ الضَّعْفُ غَيْرَ الشَّدِيدِ, that the weakness should be very, very slight. It shouldn't be extreme weaknesses. For instance, like the hadith that says, the things, out of all the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made halal that he hates the most is divorce. This hadith and all the hadith that's like it are extremely weak. You should not say the Messenger of Allah said, and you should not stay with that brother using that hadith if you need to divorce him. I say it again. If you're having a problem with your wife and you're using that flimsy hadith to stay in the marriage, divorce her. Because that hadith is not authentic. And in another authentic hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept the dua of a man who has a wife that is disobedient and he doesn't divorce her. So don't attribute it to Allah and His Messenger using a weak, extremely weak hadith saying that Allah hates divorce. Because you have no text explicit to say Allah hates divorce. The second condition for those individuals in the minority of the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who say you can use unauthentic hadith, أن يكون الحديث مندرجا تحت أصل عام, that the hadith should not establish any new Islamic principles independent of other authentic sources. In other words, brothers and sisters, if the hadith is unauthentic, and the first condition is that it doesn't have, for those individuals who say you can use an unauthentic hadith, if the hadith only has slight weaknesses, and then secondly, it doesn't contradict the well-established principles of Al-Sharia, then according to those minority-viewed scholars, you can use the hadith. Number one, the hadith should not have extreme weaknesses. And number two, it shouldn't contradict the well-established principles of the Sharia. Like for instance, somebody brings you a hadith, and the hadith says that the iddah of a woman is one day. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ونتوب إليه. The iddah of a woman is one day. Or if a crow flies over your house on Thursday after divorce prayer, then you can divorce your wife after you had relationship with her or something like this. These things are not in accordance with the principles laid down by the Sharia. And lastly, أن لا يعتقد عند العمل به ثبوته, that the hadith should not be believed or considered to be said or done by the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. For instance, all the hadith that says that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam put his right hand on his left below his navel or on his belly button, his stomach, are unauthentic and the worst of unauthentic hadith. How can you say you love Allah and His Messenger and you know the hadith are not authentic, and there's not one authentic hadith that says the Prophet put his hands in qiyam on his stomach or below his navel and you still do it? How can you say you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger when there's not one authentic hadith for this? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His book, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمَ اللَّهِ وَيُغْفِرُ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Or if you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Allah will forgive you of your sins. He will love you and forgive you of your sins. If you really say you love Allah and His Messenger, then why do you continue putting your hands on your stomach or below your navel and saying while you're doing it, this is the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wayhakum, wayhakum, woe to you lying on the Messenger of Allah in your statement and in your action. And then you commit shirk by putting Imam Abu Hanifa over the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his action. And Imam Abu Hanifa is free from you when you do it, even though he's dead, returning to his reward to his Lord. So, and what we just mentioned, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we now need to see who are the people that are qualified to use those conditions among those individuals who say you can use weak hadith, remembering the three conditions. And we're going to have an imtihan, inshallah. We're going to have a pop quiz or test, inshallah, after this lecture, inshallah, to see if you remember those three conditions that the scholars of Islam, like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani and others, have laid down for the utilization of unauthentic hadith, and you should stay away from all of them altogether anyway. A scholar of hadith called Al-Haythami, when he had the opinion of utilizing unauthentic hadith or weak hadith, he overlooked an important rule when making his judgment. Number one, he overlooked that the hadith should have slight weaknesses. Excuse me, that the hadith should not be established by or should not contradict any of the well-established principles of Islam. These are the principles or these are the conditions of an individual who wants to utilize unauthentic hadith. Listen to the conditions, brothers and sisters. See if any of you or your sheikh fits the bill. Listen very closely. Number one, a hadith not fulfilling the requirements of authenticity may not be used or referred to aside from warning people about its weakness, except in the limited scope outlined by those three conditions that we mentioned earlier. A, it needs a very eminent scholar of hadith. If we're going to apply that particular rule, it needs a very eminent scholar of hadith to apply this rule to tell whether a hadith is weak or not. Case in point, and we love him for his niyyah, for his effort, for his work in the field of Islam and da'wah. But Yusuf al-Qardawi, hafizahullah, is not a scholar of hadith. So can we go to Yusuf al-Qardawi when we read al-halal wal-haram in Islam if we want to find out if a hadith is authentic or not? No, we can't. But Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. That's right. Allah said that, and صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. And I'm not saying Sadaqallahu Azeem after reciting a verse of Quran. I'm only using it because Allah speaks the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this ayah, ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. That's a general statement. Now, when we talk about hadith, you can't go to Yusuf al-Qardawi because he's not a muhaddith. You can't go to Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq, hafizahullah, who wrote Fiqh al-Sunnah, because he's not a scholar of hadith. He's a faqih. So we must go to the people of hadith. And we love those two illustrious sheikhs. We love them. May Allah reward them for their niyyah and their effort. Number two, it needs a very eminent scholar of fiqh to tell whether a given principle has or has not been established by other authentic means of what we just mentioned previously. And then they say that many people find it hard to admit when using a weak hadith because they like to keep introducing these innovations. First of all, brothers and sisters, for a person to say that this hadith is authentic or this hadith is not authentic, they have to be an eminent scholar of hadith. Number two, in order for them to understand if the chain of the hadith is authentic or not, they have to be an individual who has specialized in ilm al-rijal, the science of the men in the chains. They have to be. They just can't be a person who's reading this book or that book or listen to a few tapes. So, because of all of this, we go back to Ibn al-Arabi's words, it is not permissible at all to use unauthentic hadith. In conclusion, brothers and sisters in Islam, I'd like to cite some hadith that come to my mind. I don't have them written in front of me, but as sitting here, I'd like to cite some hadith that is common on the tongues of the people, not just in America, but all over the Muslim world. Hadith that have been used for centuries, but they have no value whatsoever. One of those hadith is the hadith that we find attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they say he said, "Shahru Ramadan awwaluhu rahma, wa awsatuhu maghfira, wa akhiruhu 'itqun min an-nar." The month of Ramadan, the first of it is mercy. The middle of it is forgiveness. And the end of it is exemption from the hellfire. This hadith, brothers and sisters, is extremely weak. You should not use it in your khutbahs in Ramadan, and you should not say the Messenger of Allah said it. If you say that he said it, then you are lying on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another hadith is the hadith on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that they say that he said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam said, "One faqih, one is harder on the shaitan than 1,000 ignorant worshippers." This hadith is munkar, one of the worst type of unauthentic hadith. If you attribute it to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, you have lied on the Messenger of Allah. Another one that comes to my mind is the voice shakes the throne of Ar-Rahman. The voice shakes the throne of Allah. This hadith, as Imam al-Shawkani brings in his book called Mawdu'at, is forged. It doesn't even have a chain. لا أصل له. The hadith doesn't even have a chain. And you sit in your home and in your masajid and say the Messenger of Allah said this. Another one that comes to my mind, when some people, out of their love for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, not knowing that the hadith is not from the Messenger of Allah, they say that the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi said, and we seek refuge with Allah from lying on Allah's messenger. "My companions are like stars. Whichever of them you follow, you will be guided." This hadith is batil. You know what a batil hadith is, brothers and sisters? It would take another 20 minutes to explain what a batil hadith is. Throw that hadith in the city dump. In fact, when you throw it in the city dump, make sure there's toxic waste there. Get rid of that hadith. Get it off of your tongues, brothers and sisters, and stop attributing it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another another one that comes to my mind in conclusion, inshallah, and I think this is appropriate, and I hope there's still some sisters listening, is the hadith that is, I think, collected in Riyadh al-Saliheen. And all the hadith in Riyadh al-Saliheen are not authentic, brothers and sisters. Rahimahullah, Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. There's no one in this life, in this dunya today, in our time, that has even can put even a candle next to Imam al-Nawawi. But he was not ma'fum. He was not infallible. He made mistakes. All the hadith in Riyadh al-Saliheen are not authentic. One of them, if my memory serves me correctly, says that a man will not be questioned for beating his wife. The chain of this hadith, brothers and sisters, is not authentic. And if you use it as an excuse to break a wife's rib, may Allah punish you if you don't make tawbah and mend your ways. Another one, available for anyone who wants it free of charge. You can write the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey, or I believe maybe you can even contact the Islamic Center of Ridge Avenue here in Philadelphia. And I'm sure, if not, if they don't have it, we have a list, a complete list of all the hadith in Abu Dawood that are not authentic. And also Riyadh al-Saliheen, the hadith of Riyadh al-Saliheen. And if you want, inshallah, if you give us a week, any hadith that is in Yusuf al-Qardawi's book, Lawful and Prohibited in Islam, if you write to Islamic Center, 61 Lincoln Street in East Orange, we will give you that hadith, the authenticity of the hadith, or the unauthenticity of that hadith that's found in that book, Lawful and Prohibited in Islam, by our Sheikh Yusuf al-Qardawi, hafizahullah ta'ala. Now,
Since there's this center around 50 to the test, right? Is there authentic hadith that says every time the Hadith of a Hutzbah, it is permissible for him to react to a Hadith that says that the Messenger of Allah or the Sahara, every time they handed a Hutzbah, that they ended out in the Shura? I don't know if the question was, is there a Hadith from the Messenger of Allah authentic? That says that when the companions of the Messenger of Allah or when the Prophet, that the Prophet or the Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the companions finished the khutbah, that they should make a dua.
Yes.
I don't know of any hadith like this. And brothers and sisters in Islam, when someone is sitting in front of you with a little bit of knowledge like myself, and they say that they don't know of a hadith, it doesn't mean that the hadith doesn't exist because we don't know. It doesn't mean the hadith does not exist because I say I don't know. It may exist, but I'm not familiar with it. No.
This is for non-Arabic speaking citizens to use translations of Hadith evidence in Turkey, confusing without any knowledge of Arabic.
The question is it permissible or is it recommended for Muslims whose language is not Arabic to use the English translation
of the hadith
without finding out if they're authentic or not?
Or
they don't have knowledge of the Arabic language. Brothers and sisters, this particular short, this brief lecture was not to scare people away from reading books that have hadith in them. It's only a reminder so that we can help revive the Sunnah and protect the Sunnah and get closer to Allah thereby. The best thing that I would say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is to stick with Al-Bukhari and stick to Imam Muslim's hadith and ask the people who have training in hadith if this hadith in Abu Dawood is authentic, if this hadith in Mishkat al-Musabih is authentic, if this hadith in 40 hadith are authentic, if the hadith in Hadith Qudsi, of which many Muslims are deluded thinking that all the Hadith Qudsi are authentic, and many Hadith Qudsi are unauthentic. We should go to the people who have training in hadith, or those individuals who have the literature that has been published by the people of hadith,
so that they may direct you to those hadith that the people of hadith have mentioned are unauthentic. And alhamdulillah, we have a few of the people of hadith living today in our midst, and we should be actively making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them long life. Like our Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Al-Faqih Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani Abu Abdurrahman Habibullah. We should be making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I know some people probably have a problem with me saying he's a faqih, because some ignorant people who don't know Islam from a Snapple soda have the nerve to call Imam a Shaykh Nasiruddin Al-Albani a muhaddith and not a faqih. How in the world are you going to be a muhaddith and not be a faqih? Some people are in their ignorance have the nerve to say that Shaykh Al-Albani doesn't know fiqh. Where do you think the fiqh came from? You think hadith comes from fiqh, or fiqh comes from hadith? We also have Abdul Qadir Al-Arnaud Hafizahullah, a muhaddith. We also have his brother Shu'aib Al-Arnaud, a muhaddith. We also have our illustrious Shaykh Hafizahullah, still living among us, Shaykh Muqbil Al-Hadi Al-Wadi'i Hafizahullah in Yemen. We also have living amongst us today in Pakistan Shaykh Rabi' Shah Hafizahullah, a muhaddith, and there are others. We should be making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these individuals have long life, because they, not the scholars of fiqh, may Allah reward them, the scholars of hadith are the preservers of this deen, not the scholars of fiqh. And you will never, and Allah knows best, find a person of the past, of the 5th century, the 6th century, the 7th and 8th and 9th century, saying that the scholars of fiqh are the preservers of Islam and the preservers of the Sunnah. You don't find statements like this. You find them saying that the Ahlul Athar are Ahlul Hadith, and the Ahlul Hadith are Ahlul Sunnah. They are the people of the Sunnah. The Ahlul Hadith, the people who preserve the Sunnah by way of Hadith. We have a question from the sisters, I believe. And I hope it's revolving around this topic, and we're going to end it here after, inshallah. Do the women have to cover their heads when reading the Quran? We'll come back to that. The second question, during Jum'ah, is it sunnah or bid'ah for us to raise our hands in dua while the imam is offering dua? We'll come back to that because it's not related to the topic. Number three, will a person be held accountable for relaying hadith against the Prophet unknowledgeably or unknowingly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And to that, I would like to say that talib al-ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim, that seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. And the hadith that says on every male and female Muslim, that hadith is not authentic. That one is not authentic. But the one that says seeking knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim, this one is authentic. I would say that firstly, after seeking the knowledge, we should go and try to seek out the people who have knowledge of hadith. If you say the hadith and you didn't know that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say or do it, and you attributed it to him, رَبَّنَا لَا تُأَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا, O our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or make a mistake. Now, the brother is asking the question, what is the authenticity of the hadith collected in the Sunan of Ad-Darini rahimahullah, which says for every drop of rain that falls, there's an angel who brings it down. The answer to this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Allah knows this.
Can you stand with those hadith in Bukhari that are sort of an adapted heading, but they don't have any chain or anything listed to do?
The question is, what is the status of the hadith that is put in the in Al-Bukhari's hadith in the chapter heading, then those are not hadith to the best of my knowledge. Those are chapter headings, just what you said, to the best of my knowledge, and Allah knows best. And some people unfortunately take them as hadith, but they're actually the chapter headings that Imam Al-Bukhari put there. Now, very good question. The status of the hadith in the book called Fada'il al-A'mal, used by some brothers, and also Spectacles of Death, for the most part, we haven't checked all of them, but for the most part, many of the hadith that is in Fada'il al-A'mal and also Teachings of Islam and Virtues of Zikr and Virtues of Salah, many of them are unauthentic. Many of them. In fact, the book called Ihya Ulum al-Din by Imam al-Ghazali rahimahullah wa ghafarallahu lahu wa afa'allahu anhu, in his book Revivalist, I think it's called in English Science of the Revivalist Movement, Ihya Ulum al-Din, more than 58% of the hadith, and I think this is an understatement, I think it's 61%, 61% of the hadith in this book by Imam al-Ghazali is either forged, fabricated, or extremely weak. No, I mean, brother,
you mentioned
the difference between a muhaddith and a faqih is night and day. A faqih is a person who is knowledgeable of the principles of al-fiqh, which is the deduction of the laws from the Quran and the Sunnah, which is the Sharia, and the way that the companions understood it and practiced it, radiallahu anhum ajma'een. They are individuals who are familiar thoroughly with aam and khas, general and specific, mutlaq and muqayyid, bound and unbounded, nasikh and mansukh, abrogating and abrogated verses or hadith. They are familiar somewhat with the principles revolving around the issues of or any issue in fiqh. Not necessarily and usually knowledgeable in hadith science. A muhaddith in general terms is a person who is thoroughly familiar with hadith and has a wide knowledge of the people who narrated those hadith and the science of what is sahih, what is hasan, what is da'if, what is al-jarh, what ta'adil, criticism of the people in the chain, etc. And usually someone who has memorized thousands of hadith. The person who has this ability, by virtue of him being a muhaddith, he's bound to become a faqih. Just by virtue of him being a muhaddith, he's bound to become a faqih. But the person who is a faqih is not necessarily going to be a muhaddith. And that's why you find our illustrious Shaykh Yusuf Al-Qardawi and Sayyid Sabiq and others making so many mistakes in their books, because they're quoting what people have said without having the thorough knowledge of checking those hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Can we follow them blindly? No, we cannot. No, but no. Most of them. Al-Bukhari, the question is, he's saying that, I'm saying that some of the ulama say that you can't use unauthentic hadith. I'm saying no. Most of them, the vast majority of them, of the past, not the modernist scholars. And when I say modernist, I don't mean modernist in that sense. I mean the modern scholars, not the modernist scholars. Because the modernist scholars don't want to use hadith at all, or maybe they'll use whatever they want to use. But the modern day scholars, the contemporary scholars, we're not talking about them. We're talking about Al-Bukhari. We're talking about Imam Muslim. We're talking about Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani. We're talking about Ad-Dar al-Qutni. We're talking about We're talking about Haytami, not Haytami, Haytami. We're talking about El Bayhaqi. We're talking about Ad-Darimi. We're talking about Imam Shafi'i. We're talking about Imam Malik. We're talking about Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal. All these individuals said no. Don't use weak hadith at all. We're saying that, we have to say it so the sisters can hear. He asked the question, are we saying that weak hadith are fabricated hadith? The answer is no. There's a difference between a weak hadith and a fabricated hadith. Absolutely. Go ahead. Okay, the brother's making a very good point. Why do I keep saying unauthentic? I'm saying unauthentic because every hadith that falls under the category of da'if is unauthentic, according to the scholars of hadith. No, not necessarily. Every hadith that falls under the category of da'if is considered unauthentic. The only hadiths that are authentic are sahih and hasan. Yes, and there are some who say you can use, we mentioned this, I don't know if you heard me, we mentioned that some say, but those individuals have no warrant to say that you can use it for virtue. They have no warrant. They have no text from the book of Allah and no hadith to say that statement. They have no proof from the book of Allah or the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah to say that you can use a weak or unauthentic hadith or forged hadith or whatever. No, leave unauthentic. Leave forged. A weak hadith, a da'if hadith, they don't bring any proof from the book of Allah, explicit from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, for a justification for using weak hadith. They only use their aql, their intelligence. So should we follow them?
Well, I mean,
you didn't answer the question. Should we follow them?
Those people who
you're
talking about?
Yes.
If they don't have any justification, no, you should not follow.
So then can you please name one of the scholars of today that has one ayah from Quran or hadith that says you can use a weak hadith for our virtues? Can you name one scholar?
Yes.
Who?
Mulana Zubair in Detroit?
What's his proof from the Quran or the Sunnah? No, I'm not trying to get upset. I'm just saying, what's his proof? Okay.
He said that he's against people who are saying that da'if hadith, weak hadith are in the same category as forged.
Oh, he's right. Oh, he should be against people like that. Yes, nobody's saying that.
He said that they can be, and at this time, I don't.
You can
give me some familiar like this, that, you know, I can actually say at this point, but I can actually have another time.
Inshallah.
You see, how can you say that? People say that thing that you said before, when a prophet
brings
you news, right? You should investigate.
That's
something on the high, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
You need to understand that I have. If you should investigate,
yes.
From the prophet, right?
That's yes,
the
yes.
Right? Now that doesn't mean necessarily that that person is a liar.
Okay, if we go back to the reason why this verse was revealed, we'll find out that it doesn't mean fast enough in the sense that we understand it. It doesn't mean that. It means anybody. When you go back to the reason why this ayah was revealed, you'll find out that it doesn't mean fast enough in the sense that we mean. It means anybody. When you go back to the reason why the verse was revealed. It means anybody. That's right. That's right. Because the danger of lying on the Messenger of Allah can fall into the danger of lying on the Messenger of Allah with a weak hadith or a forced hadith. So Zubair, Maulana Zubair, Hafidhahu Allah, may Allah protect him and preserve him, he has to come in conformity with Imam al-Bukhari and the rest of them. He has to bring a proof. And if there was a proof, I am absolutely sure that Imam al-Bukhari and al-Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani would have already brought that proof. It's possible that Maulana Zubair has a proof that Imam al-Bukhari didn't see. It's possible. But it's highly improbable. No, not me. I don't see anything. I'm blind. I'm talking about al-Bukhari. I'm talking about Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. I'm talking about Imam Muslim. I'm not talking about Dawood al-Tib. Dawood al-Tib ain't nobody. No, I'm saying, no. It's not an issue of me. It's not an issue of me understanding. It's not an issue of me understanding or not understanding. It's an issue is if they had a proof, they would have brought it. Right. A mufti is not a muhaddith, akhi. You can ask all the muftis you want. A mufti is not a muhaddith. And neither is Maulana Zubair. Neither is Maulana Zubair. He's not a muhaddith either. Remember that. Absolutely. I'm not a Maulana either. Allah is a Maulana.
No, but also, they say Maulana is the early word.
Okay, anyway. Dawood al-Dib is not a muhaddith. Maulana Zubair is not a muhaddith. And a mufti is not necessarily a muhaddith. Okay. No, we know, Bilal, we know you're not trying to cause fitna. No, we know. Absolutely. It's not entertainment, Aki. It's not entertainment. No, for sure.
Anyway,
okay,
mostly I asked him, he's been at the Zina Masjid in New York, about this, and how he told it from the Fada'il Ma'al.
What hadith?
There are two mentions in the Fada'il Ma'al, right? The book that we're using, that's how these words, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big hadith about my Sahaba and the Jum, something like this, so like the Sahaba and the Jum, like the Sahaba. So every Sahaba, he would be under the same name, like the guy, right? This movie told me that seven. You see, at least 7 or 8 from I can say he's from the
Muhammad. He's absolutely
right. That
hadith is not. He's absolutely right, and every single one of them are unauthentic. Every single. No, I didn't say da'if. They're unauthentic. I'm giving you a generic term. They're worse than da'if. They're fabricated, or either they don't have a chain at all. No, not from Sheikh Al-Albani. This is from Ash-Shawkani. Not Sheikh Muhammad Nasir Al-Albani. This is from Ash-Shawkani. Do we know who Ash-Shawkani is, right? Does anybody know him know who Ash-Shawkani is? SubhanAllah. Of the past. Rahimahullah. Ash-Shawkani. SubhanAllah. He's azim, brother, in hadith.
Anyway, there's some he says that there are, you know,
no, it isn't, Akhi. There's no difference of opinion. There's not one scholar of the past, of our illustrious predecessors, of Salaf al-Saleh, not one that said that hadith is authentic. How can somebody today come today now and say that a forged hadith, a fabricated hadith, a hadith that doesn't even have a chain, is authentic? It's impossible. I'm saying Ash-Shawkani said this. I tell you what. I am ready to bring the proof from the illustrious people of the past under one condition. If the mufti that said this, or any other person that said this, that these hadiths are okay to use and that they're not fabricated or forged, if they also bring their proof, I'm ready to bring mine from the people of the past. Inshallah. But it has to be public. It can't be private. That's right. It has to be public. Okay. Absolutely. Oh, we have the proof, Akhi. Alhamdulillah. You know why? Because Ibn Mubarak, one of the illustrious people of Hadith, one of the teachers, one of the sheikhs, we're going to end it here, one of the sheikhs of Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal, he said, Al-Isnadu min al-Din. Walawla al-Isnad, laqala man sha' ma sha'. He said that the chain of narrators is a part of the deen of Islam. And if it wasn't for the chain, anybody can say whatever they wanted to say. And he also said, لَوْلَا الْإِسْنَادِ لَأَصَابَنَا مَا أَصَابَ دِينَ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى. And if it wasn't for the chain, the same things that have befallen the people of Jews and Christians and their religion would have befallen us. He said this, she said that, he narrated this, he narrated that. We have a chain, Akhi. For every hadith that we use in this da'wah at Salafia, we have a chain. For those who say they have a chain and said this and other hadith are okay, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your proof if you're truthful. Okay, inshallah.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.